a better way. And we are live just a couple minutes early today with episode 3,590 of the Survival Podcast. Of course, if you're an audio-only listener, which like 95% of the audience is, when I say we are live, it probably means nothing to you. But that's actually a good intro today. I just had one of the people waiting for the stream to start say, I'm going to read it from Jason. If it wasn't for your post on X, I would have missed this. Did you anger the Googles and YouTubes? I have angered them many, many years ago. I have been effectively shadow banned, I believe, by YouTube, by X, which was, you know, formerly Twitter, even when Elon took over. It doesn't seem like that. Like, all these places seem to have shadow banned me. And it really sucks because I have a huge amount of followers on these platforms and people all the time telling me that they don't see them. So I have a suggestion. Number one, and it, you know, this may not work really well for you guys, but if you are watching this on YouTube right now, or if you have a YouTube account and you usually don't listen to me on audio, go ahead and jump on my channel and subscribe. That would really help. And share our stuff as well on YouTube. That would really help. Maybe someday we'll unclog this mess or something. I don't know. But I would like to reach more people. And those are two little bitty things that you can do to help me. Now, here's what you can do to help you. Instead of worrying about whether YouTube or X or whatever is going to tell you what I had to say, that if you weren't wanting to hear it, you wouldn't have followed me, get on our Telegram channel, and there's the link in the scroll right there. It's t.me/TSPC broadcast. That is our Telegram channel, and that means that you don't have to listen to 500 people talking to each other if you don't want to. You can join the list, too, if you want, but the channel is just announcements for me. I put about four or five things a day on it. It's like getting a text message that you can opt out of at any time, so please consider doing that. Anyway, what are we going to talk about today? That's why you guys are going to show up in droves, I'm sure. Probably the graphic that I put out when I announced the show alone of probably the last time I'll use the graphic, and for those that are, you know, audio only. It is a AI-derived image before they fixed the loophole to let you do things with AI that made fun of politicians, especially leftist politicians, of Joe Biden on the roof of the White House fiddling while Washington and metaphorically the entire country burns. And of course, today's show is called Burning It All Down on the Way Out. So what we're going to talk about today is basically the transitional turmoil. In fact, that was kind of part of what I was flirting with for a title today, is Transitional Turmoil versus the Liberty Community. The title just ended up being too long and not really conveying what the show is about, so Burning It All Down on the Way Out is what I came to. But this is really all transitional stuff. I really believe, whether you hate or love Orange Man or you're like me and you're more neutral on all this, it doesn't matter when you do it as an analysis of what's going on from the inside. The deep state is real, whether you believe it or not. You don't have to believe in it for it to believe in you, okay? And the left is one mafia family opposed to another mafia family we call the right. And the left, the mainstream media, academia, the deep state, and many spineless, useless, highly paid bureaucrats never really believed that the great Trumpkin would rise again in November, like the great Pumpkin never did on October 31st in the Charlie Brown film. They never thought it would happen. And now it has, and they're absolutely losing their shit. The fact that, to his credit, Orange Man seems to be doing at least some of the things he promised straight out of the gate has them even more afraid that he'll do some of the other things that he said he was going to do. So, I mean, what's going on right now is, like, Trump's not even taking power, and we're in full meltdown mode. And some of the stuff we'll cover today, we have young women sterilizing themselves to protect their reproductive rights. It's like an inverse-converse idiocracy. You know, we'll talk about that. Everyone's a legal scholar about the Fifth Amendment all of a sudden. Joe Biden pardoned Hunter, so that means Hunter can be compelled to testify. No, I'll cover that one really quick. That's not happening. Orange Man, I'm not going to dig into this, but I feel like he's tapped into some House members, and like Gates resigned his seat, and then isn't going to be on the cabinet anyway. And there's talk of like tapping into some other congressional folks out of the House. This is stupid. And it's stupid not because the candidates maybe aren't good, but because you have a razor thin majority in the House for Orange Man, and you don't need to make it any smaller, Orange Man. I'm just saying. Bitcoin's ripping. Everybody's talking about when it breaks $100,000. It will probably before the end of the year. Definitely not today. Probably not tomorrow. Maybe the end of this week, but probably next week or the week thereafter. But that's not the number I'm looking at. No, no, no. I'm looking at $105,000. And there's a reason. I'll tell you why today. And Michael Saylor seems to be on track to make sure his company, MicroStrategy, at some point will hold 1/21st of all Bitcoin. I think his target really is 1 million Bitcoin. He's up to almost 500,000, like 407,000 Bitcoin. And it's easy to do with other people's money, but yet he's encouraging other companies to do it. We'll talk about the impact of that. A former commissioner of the FDA is basically threatening us. We're going to have a polio epidemic if RFK gets appointed to HHS, which is absolutely stupidity, except that maybe it's not just a threat. Maybe it's actually a threat. We'll talk about what I mean by that. AOC is being floated as a POTUS candidate for 2028, showing the left has learned nothing. The automotive industry is about to crash and burn. I'll talk about that briefly, but it's going to happen. I left that out of my bullet point. So if I'm getting toward the end and I haven't mentioned that, somebody in the chat, please let me know, because that's an important one to look at. That's going to be the first big financial challenge for Trump. Yeah. Remember Bush in the Obama years and kind of their transition and, you know, all the car companies needing bailouts? Yeah, wait, it's going to be way worse this time. And all the indicators are flashing red on that. A crowd of TDS lunatics screamed at Lake Michigan. I think they thought that was going to help. There's some lunatics down in Argentina doing some weird version of the New Zealander, like cannibal dance or something. I'm not really going to talk about them, but that happened too. The deep state seems to be begging for World War III. A New York state senator is calling for New York and all other Northeast and a bunch of other Northeastern states to secede and join Canada. It's just theatrics, but it shows you the mental state of these people right now. And we have a claim that the Ukraine is, it's fine to fund Ukraine because most of our dollars don't go to Ukraine. They stay in the United States. I'm going to cover that one now because it didn't make my bullet points. But here's the deal with Ukraine. This article this idiot wrote, and this Alexander something or another, some, you know, tarred with a Ukraine flag in his profile that proves he's supporting it with his whole heart and soul. This article written said that we really shouldn't worry about all this foreign aid to Ukraine. Okay, just to give you an idea of where these people are coming from right now. And the reason is, basically, we have, you know, defense contractors that employ lots of Americans build all this shit, and then the government buys the weapons, and not the dollars, but the weapons go to Ukraine. Do you realize how stupid this is? Do you realize how stupid this is? Let me explain it to you with a very simple analogy. Let's say that you worked your ever-loving ass off and went out and bought yourself a nice used F-150 for $30,000. You paid cash for it. It's yours. And then somebody comes along against your will, steals your truck, and sends it to Ukraine. And says, what's the problem? The dollars stayed in America. Yeah, they went to Ford, or they went to the person that sold you the Ford, or went to the bank, or whatever. It didn't go to you. Your money was taken to fund their this is the mindset that we are dealing with in America today. And yes, I did get my ears lowered. And finally, we'll sign off with the fact that Cackles gave us a farewell speech. Yep, Kamala came out. It's not marketed as a farewell speech, but it definitely comes off as though it will be her farewell speech. And I'm going to have to find that one while some other things are going on because I did not put that in the bullets either. I have a lot to cover today, so let's dig on into it. Before we do, let us go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day today. Sponsor of the day number one today is Start9 Private Servers. How about you take back your digital sovereignty? You know, everybody's going to be talking about New Year's resolutions not very long in our future. We're going to be hearing about New Year's resolutions, and that's all good and well, but How about you start your New Year's resolutions before New Year's comes, if you actually want to change some things? And one of the things you can change is your approach to technology. With a Start9 server, there is so much you can do. You can run your own BTC pay server and become your own bank for receiving Bitcoin and payments on your website. You don't have a website, but you do keep Bitcoin. You can run a node. You can run a Lightning node as well. You can run end-to-end private encrypted chat that even the best people in the government can't break, if they could even find it in the first place, because people can only get in if you let them in. You can access all your files from anywhere in the world over a private connection via Tor. And you do a whole lot more with it. And honest to God, if you guys can install apps on a smartphone and use them, then you can run these servers. This is not as hard as you think it is. Go ahead and give it a shot. You can go over to Start9. Remember, MSB members, you get 9% off. I've been saying that if you use a Fold card and stack the gift card in Fold, you get like another, I think, 9% back. Somebody in the chat said it's now 4 or 5%. It's probably the case. I can't control what they do elsewhere. We still have 9% off for you just for MSB members. Next up today is K9 Academy. That's one of Joel Ryle's operations there. Joel did a great talk at the fall workshop. He really did. It just came out wonderful with the way he talked about life as a whole. But one thing he really does know about is training dogs. And what Joel knows is if you want to train dogs well, then you need to train the person who's training the dog. The dog is actually an amazingly easy animal to train. They condition amazingly well. We've bred them for, you know, thousands of years to work with man. But we have to understand the dog brain and how the dog thinks and do things in a way that the dog understands. And this is based on the three C's. We create conditions that allow the dog to fail. We control the failure so that it's not catastrophic, like the dog can go after the chicken but not eat the chicken, okay? And then we correct the behavior when it's wrong, and that conditions a response from the fourth C. It's really a very simple way to look at things. It's really what all good dog trainers do. Joel just puts it together in a way where you can really understand it easily, and you can, you know, eliminate the variable that's always the problem, which is the person. And he's got several different courses you can take, but there's a problem-solving library that's a good first start. That's basically a free course that you can take to see if it's right for you. So check it out at canineacademy.us. With that, let's jump on into, what I'm going to say is just a look at the coming crazy and crazy town being expanded to crazy society as a whole. It's unbelievable to me some of the things that are going on. I'm going to go fast with each of these stories because I got a lot to cover. But I want to start out with the fact that Biden pardoned Hunter. Brandon, you know, pardoned baby Biden. And there's two different things going on around about it right now. One is there's justifiably a lot of people on the right or even kind of the center or the libertarian or anarcho space just mocking the shit out of journalists who told us how much Biden respected the rule of law and how he would never pardon Hunter and he trusted the Justice Department to do things the right way and is completely the opposite of Trump and Trump has no character and he'd pardon anybody that it benefited him to pardon. And now they're all turning around and saying how wonderful it is that Biden pardoned Hunter because, well, you can't trust Trump. And Trump's going to weaponize the DOJ, et cetera, which is exactly what they've done. So that's fine that they're doing that. But you have this whole other group of what I call hopium, right? Instead of copium, it's hopium. And there's so much anger, and I understand it. And there's so much animosity at what has happened over the last 4 years, the lies, the lawfare, all of it. There's people that really feel that it's necessary for Joe Biden to pay for what he has done. Joe Biden is not going to pay for what he has done. Joe Biden is going to go off, feed seagulls some ice cream for a while, and probably end up in an old folks home, a really nice one, at your expense, surrounded by Secret Service, for what's left of his life. Because he's just not mentally there. He probably won't end up in a home. You know, he'll have home care at an estate or something like that. But he's basically done. And he's going to go off into the sunset, and he's going to get away with everything. And the reason people say that he's not going to get away with everything is, well, he messed up, man. He pardoned Hunter. And once you accept a pardon, man, you cannot use the Fifth Amendment and not testify. So these are people that got their legal advice from the back of a napkin or from Google in 5 seconds. And there's something you have to understand about, one, the level you're trying to prosecute at. When you're trying to prosecute a former president, as you saw with Trump, it's not an easy thing to do. Even when everybody's all in on doing it and coordinating the attack, let alone a one-off entity going after it. Okay. Trump has a lot of shit to do in 4 years. He doesn't have time for this bullshit, and he's not going to do it. Might I remind you, lock her up, and where that went. It went from lock her up to one day after the election saying, I don't want to hurt them, they're good people. Okay, so we already have that track record. But here is the reality, okay? You do not give up the Fifth Amendment as a whole because you were pardoned, especially when you were pardoned with an unconditional pardon. Sometimes pardons are conditional. In other words, to get this pardon, you must agree to these things. Biden did a full sweeping, all things that may or may not have happened over a huge block of time, like a decade of time. Anything my son did at all during this period of time, connected to this or not, he is unconditionally pardoned for. It's the last time you saw something like this was Ford's pardon of Nixon. Okay? You got me? Okay. So what they're saying is, well, now they'll go after Hunter and say, since you can't be convicted, you can't claim the Fifth Amendment, they can compel him to testify. And if he does lie, then he goes to jail for perjury. And if he doesn't lie, then Biden goes to jail. This is fantasy bullshit. It's not going to happen. And let me tell you why from a legalistic standpoint. A presidential pardon covers federal crimes that can be prosecuted by the United States federal DOJ and nothing else. It doesn't cover any state crime, and it doesn't cover crimes that might be sought to be prosecuted by foreign actors. Like, oh, I don't know, the government of Ukraine that will exist soon after Zelensky's fucking thrown out. So all you're going to get out of Hunter Biden is his attorney saying, my client is pleading the Fifth Amendment because it is potentially possible and reasonable that he could face prosecution at state or international level if he were to testify in this instance. Bye. Done. Over. Now, could it be argued? Sure. And Trump will be retired before you ever got anybody. This is pointless. It's not going to happen. Give up on it. There's a common theme going through a lot of this stuff today. We're talking about it because, well, I get a lot more of you to show up when I talk about shit like this. And sometimes I'll do that just to get you to show up, because then maybe you'll show up for the other stuff. But the other thing is, we're all debating shit that's not going to happen while what's going to happen happens. This is a lot of like the pretty girl in a scantily clad outfit that you're looking at, and all of a sudden the magician's up on the catwalk or something. Oh, how do you do that? Because you're all looking at the tits. That's how. That's a lot of what this is. On that note, here's some things going on that just, even though that's the case, you have to scratch your head and go, where are these people coming from? So, you know, after Trump won, and I mean like the next day, there was this whole movement where leftist women, most of them who I don't think most men would be interested in anyway from the videos that I saw of it, they're not going to have sex with us anymore. Well, I'm married, and I'm not real worried about that. And I don't think most people were either. They're going to shave their head, refuse to use Instagram filters. Okay, whatever. Like, this is all this nonsense, and basically not wear makeup and be uglier than the people. And I'm not really picking on specific, like, the whole group now. I'm talking about the people that were saying this, the women that were saying this. Basically, they were saying, I'm going to make myself uglier than I am. Well, now it's gone further. There's a whole group of young women that are saying, I'm going to have myself sterilized. I'm going to have my tubes tied so that I can protect my reproductive rights. Now, again, I feel like this is like a weird version of Idiocracy. It's exactly accurate and inaccurate at the same time. And here's what I mean by that. So we have these women who are supposed to be the smart people. Okay? These are the college-educated, affluent white women. That's mainly who's doing this. Refusing to have children. Now, that sounds exactly like Idiocracy, doesn't it? You had all the wealthy people saying, I don't know if I can have it. And there, they had kids that all they had won. And the whole intro is the lady, like, she's frozen some eggs and she hopes that maybe in the future. And next thing you know, old Cletus is tagging butt everywhere and they're multiplying and the kids winning football games and he's having kids with like multiple women. And then one of his wives is having kids with his dad. And all of a sudden, 300 years later, you have the Idiocracy. But the concept was stupid people would reproduce and the smart people didn't. Well, it's the same demographic not reproducing here, but I think we've switched the stupid and the smart. I'm pretty sure the dude that I can take shit to and drawing on a piece of paper, say, to a metal shop, say, I want you to fabricate this thing for me and I can come back in 2 days and give him a few $100. And he's fabricated something off my shitty drawing, and I know nothing about engineering, and it's exactly – I'm pretty sure that guy's smarter than these people. Where this idea that it was the blue-collar people that are stupid came from, you know where it came from. It came from the fake smart people who say, but the science says. So we've got that going on. They're going to sterilize themselves. And again, Bitcoin now. Let's move to Bitcoin. And the reason this is in here is that this is directly connected to Trump winning office. This, like, the day after the election, Bitcoin, it just went on a tear. And and I think we got ahead of where we're supposed to be. And that's where this, like, it seems like we came right up against 100K and didn't get through the sell wall. But it's going to hit 100,000 in this cycle. And it's going to go well below, above that. But the actual next metric that I'm paying attention to is $105,000, and I'm about to show you why. I came on the air earlier this year sometime, and I said, Bitcoin's going to eat everything, and it's about to consume silver's market cap. Very soon after I said that, it consumed silver's market cap. So the market cap of silver is now significantly under the market cap of Bitcoin. But there's three giants of the market cap space in the U.S. stock market. There are Microsoft, Amazon, and Alphabet, a.k.a. Google. At $105,000, Bitcoin will overtake Google's market cap. This is not insignificant. This is actually a whole new level of, between the ETFs and everything, a financial advisor starting to put more and more Bitcoin positions in for people. So this is your wake-up call. If you think it's too expensive to buy now, when are you going to stop saying that? It was too expensive at $600. It was too expensive at $1,500. It was too expensive at $3,500. It was too expensive at $10,000, $16,000, $20,000. When it went from $20,000 down to like $7,000, you said you were going to wait for it to go to $1,100. And now it's at like $94,000 or whatever the hell it is at this moment. Right. This asset class goes in one direction over time, and that is up. And if you understood math, and you understood money, and you understood game theory, you'd understand why. Now, the other part of this, and I think this is really important to understand. Now, I'm not gonna play the presentation, but I do want to talk about some things that are going on here. Number one, Michael Saylor has cracked a formula. And that formula is how to buy lots of Bitcoin with other people's money in a way that's incredibly low risk, especially if you stage in over time. Saylor announced today that Microsoft acquired another 15,400 Bitcoin. 15,400 Bitcoin for $1.5 billion at $95,976. And has achieved a Bitcoin yield of 38.7% quarter to date, 63% year to date. As of 12/2/2004, we HODL, 402,100 Bitcoin acquired for $23.4 billion, which puts them at $58,263. So the DCA on that is what we'd call it as little plebs down here, is about 58 grand. So this is what will happen. People will say, well, it went down to 90,000. He's underwater. He's at a $58,000 basis. This man, I believe emphatically, has a goal that has not been stated. And that goal is to have his company hold 1 million Bitcoin total. 1 million Bitcoin. But at the same time, he is not trying to do this independently. He is trying to unite basically his contemporaries, other CEOs, other people that run large companies. He's trying to bring them together to participate in this as well. And I'm not going to play it, but he just did a three, yes, Microsoft. I'm going there. If I said Microsoft, Adrian says MicroStrategy, not Microsoft. Yes, Michael's company is MicroStrategy. And if I said Microsoft, it's because where I'm going next. Microsoft just had Saylor give a three minutes to present why should Microsoft follow MicroStrategy's formula. And in 3 minutes, he gave a fantastic presentation. And here's the reality. You could take Microsoft off the PowerPoint slides and put in any large public company in that slide deck, and that presentation worked just as well. Saylor knows if he can create four or five more versions of what he's done, that it will be a race everybody in. And he's already front run. Even if he never hits his million Bitcoin goal, which I believe is the truth, it's a half million Bitcoin. Bitcoin goes to 500 grand. You're talking about one of the wealthiest organizations that's ever existed. What you're actually talking about is companies that will end up being worth more than banks. And you also end up at a point where these companies are not going to want to ever let go of that asset, because that underlying asset can be leveraged in ways that allow cash flow off of it without yield in the way that we think of it with all these scams, these DeFi scams. And that's what Saylor's done. And if you are still holding out against this, I don't even care anymore. I don't even care anymore. I've been responding to just about any negative comments about Bitcoin when I post about it with HFSP. HFSP. I'm not going to tell you what it means. You can Google that shit if you don't know. I'm just bored with it. I'll tell you the positive. You want to argue, go argue with somebody like the Guy Swan. Go argue with Guy. He's still in a mode where he's willing to debate you and talk to you about it and explain it to you. I'm not. There's a point where we stop talking about bullshit and we start talking about reality. And that's where I am with this. I've been doing this, for about 11 years. I've been recommending this. And so it's up to you. So I want to put that in the middle. But it is directly related to what we're talking about. Now, while all this is going on, we have this absolute obsessive need by the deep state and the media to fight anything and everything that involves a decoupling of power from any government agency whatsoever. You'd think, now honestly, wouldn't you think this? If Donald Trump is such a fascist dictator Hitler, that if he was going to do anything to weaken the government, that the media would be all for it. Wouldn't that make sense? Right? You got Hitler in power, but Hitler wants to reduce the power of the federal government. No, Hitler keep all the power, right? So one of the places they're really worried right now is with the appointment of RFK to Secretary of Health and Human Services, which I think is the biggest gift of Orange Man 2.0. I am all for this. I want to see this, and I hope it goes even 20% as well is my best hopes for it. There will be a victory as far as I'm concerned. But what I want to do now, I want to play this for you. This is a former FDA commissioner and a member of the Pfizer board of directors, okay? Like, you got to think about this, right? And this bean-headed media idiot. And just while, for those of you watching the video, why do they all have the same fucking haircut? Why do they all look like clones? Look at this. You tell me, you look at this woman, let's say it was not framed this way. You just see this woman, like a picture of her, and you say, what's her job? She's a talking head for the media. They all have this anchor woman haircut. It's clone, 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 clone. They all act the same way. They all talk the same way. They're all mental midgets. They all know absolutely nothing. They read a teleprompter and they think that makes them smart. Well, she's talking to this jagoff and he's going to tell you how the whole world's going to die and end in an oblivion if RFK gets appointed. We'll come back and talk about it after you listen to it.
Joining us right now to talk about all of this and what it means to the sector is Dr. Scott Gottlieb. Of course, he is the former FDA commissioner under the last Trump administration. He's also a CNBC contributor. And Scott, you're still a board member at Pfizer as well?
That's right.
Okay, and a board member at Pfizer. Let's jump into this. And why don't we start with the incoming administration's choices? Because there's been a lot of consternation, a lot of people who have said, wait a second, with RFK Jr. heading things up, What do you say as somebody who served in the last Trump administration?
Yeah, look, well, I have deep concerns about Kennedy's stated intentions to roll back core public health protections, particularly as it relates to childhood vaccines. He's brought in a very experienced team, a lot of lawyers from the Children's Defense Fund, which is his anti-vax organization. These guys are capable. I think they're deadly serious. They've been very clear about their intentions. And I think sometimes you have to take people at their word. And just to sort of level set where we are right now, we had 5,000 cases of pertussis last year. We're going to have 30,000 cases this year. Pregnant women for the first time in a very long time now need to think about pertussis as a risk during pregnancy. And if you look at vaccination rates for MMR, there are states that really are at the tipping point in terms of reduced vaccination rates. Herd immunity is achieved at a level of about 95% coverage. If you look at Idaho, it's at 79%. You look at Alaska and Wisconsin, 84%, Minnesota, 87%, Florida, Colorado, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Utah at 88%. When I was at FDA in 2018, 2019, all those states were in the low 90s. If we lose another 5%, we're going to be in a position where we see distributed outbreaks of measles, and that could easily happen in the next few years.
MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, pertussis is whooping cough?
Whooping cough.
So you're a physician. What do you worry about? What do you see?
Well, what I worry about is that we're at a tipping point where we're going to start to see epidemics of diseases that have long been vanquished. And God forbid we see polio reemerge in this country. This could happen in the next 4 years, especially with MMR. The measles vaccination rates have dipped to a point where we're at a tipping point right now. Another 5% down and we'll be there.
Okay, let's start out with these are the same people. And I mean, they are the exact same people that got everything, and I mean literally everything wrong with COVID. They got everything wrong. Everything they said was wrong. The vax will stop infection. The vax will stop transmission. Changed into it will reduce symptoms and you won't die. Changed into, well, you're less likely to die. Okay. It has no side effects. Led to, here's all the side effects that we know that it has. Study after study talking about myocarditis, especially in young males. The HCQ and ivermectin don't work. That was a lie. They were dangerous was a bigger lie. One thing they don't work. Like, we can still debate some of the things around that and the proper timing and how effective it really is. But you're talking about two of the safest medications on the planet. They told you one was horse paste, and they told you the other one should only be used in a hospital under a doctor's supervision, like it was some kind of high-level chemotherapy, when Department of Veteran Affairs gives out 60,000 doses of this shit a day, and in 90% of the world, it's an over-the-counter medication, right? So these are people that got everything wrong. But this shit about Kennedy is bullshit. First of all, Kennedy has flat out said, the old vaccinations, polio, measles, right, things like that, he has those vaccines and so do his kids. What Kennedy is advocating for is fully informed consent of the person receiving the treatment for the full release of all the data, what the risks are versus the reward, how much protection versus how much risk, so people can make informed decisions. Might I remind you that after World War II, we had a series of agreements, right? Okay. And one of them involved this idea that any patient, any person, anywhere in the world, not just the United States, receiving any medical treatment whatsoever was entitled to the right to fully informed consent. Okay. And this is international law that literally has a penalty that's supposed to be potential fucking death penalty if you violate this. Anybody that hides any information that's relevant to a treatment or medication at all is guilty of violating that crime. Okay? And the fact that somebody says, well, hey, maybe we shouldn't fucking do this. Maybe people should have access to all this information. Maybe people should have a right to decide whether or not they receive a medication into their body through an injection, which can never be undone. If we're going to do that, it's the end of the world, and we're going to, like, when he said shit like, we're going to have this many pertussis cases next year. How the fuck would he know that? How the fuck would he know that? These are the same people that told you 3 million people were going to die in 2 months from COVID or whatever bullshit they came up with. These are the same people. I posted the models all the time. This will never happen. It never happened. I was called a quack. You know what never happened? This is what never happened. I went through all that shit. I posted all that. I brought all of the information and all the people that talked shit to me. Not one of you came back and said, you know what? You got it right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. No, what I heard was bullshit, like, you were right for the wrong reason. No, I was right because logic and mathematics and history and the ability to do research and a willingness to do research and a willingness to be logical versus emotional. This is an absolute disgrace that we're even having this conversation. But that's what's going to, we're going to threaten all this shit. And I actually believe there's more to it. I believe that there's an underlying current in these threats. If RFK gets appointed, these things are going to happen. And I think whether or not they actually mean it, I think what they're signaling to the people that will be voting on his approval is, you know, it might happen if you do it. We might have to prove that it's dangerous. You know, maybe somebody buys a thing at a wet market or something like, again, maybe there's another pandemic coming. I don't know if they'll do it, but I feel like all of the FUD and the way it's being presented and the people that are presenting it seem to be maybe signaling to some of the potential, you know, middle votes as to up or down on RFK. You don't want to do this. We might put everything back the way it was. You don't want that to happen again. And you could say they won't do it, but I believe they'll do it. I believe they'll do it. Now, you would think that the left, the media, academia, the woke, all of it, right? The deep state, you think they would all have a good, long, hard look right now into the least used mirror in the world. The mirror of self-reflection, that they would have learned something, anything from all this. No, they cannot learn. They are so sure that they're right, that they're incapable of learning. See, I said this a long time ago, and I got attacked for it, and this is just proof that it's true. You can't learn without being wrong first. You can't learn without, if you believe something can't be done, you were wrong, and then you learned that it could be done. If you believe something wasn't true and it turned out to be true, you were wrong first. If you didn't know how to do something, right, you can't really learn how to do it until you admit that you don't know how to do it, which is a type of being wrong. You're wrong because you don't know how, and so you don't think you can. And I guess if you want to get technical, maybe there'd be, I know I can do this, but I don't know how, so I'm going to learn. Okay, fine. But in general, on big lessons in life, you're almost always wrong. Discover that you're wrong in the act of learning. And this requires the mirror of self-reflection. So you would think that these fucking clowns would be like, you know what? We should probably find someone who's articulate, someone who understands how to talk to people, someone who's intelligent, someone that can have a debate and not look like a moron. Someone who's like, oh, I don't know, not afraid of a garbage disposal. Someone who doesn't do shit like do photo ops at the border crying at a fence that there's literally nobody on the other side of. You would think, but no. The leading candidate that the left is floating for 2028 now, AOC. AOC. Yeah, if we just had her, we would have beat Orange Man, right? If we just had AOC, we would have beat Orangeman. This is a star that started the, like, Nova, right? Like, the bright new star in the sky. So he started to, but that's what they want to hang their hat on. Now, I don't think that this will be a serious discussion about 2027 when people start announcing. But AOC said she's got an exploratory committee looking toward, I mean, if Marianne Williamson can run in the clown show car, then why can't AOC? But to me, I should leave it there. This is just more proof that these people have learned absolutely not a damn thing at all by what's happened. So this next one, I don't even know what to say here. I'm gonna play the very beginning of it, because I'm not going to play this guy performing. And you might think I'm just, like, pointing out something gross or pathetic or even bullying or punching down on somebody. I'm not. I'm going to explain why I included this after I show you what it is. So apparently there's a big rap thing every year to recognize some other rapper, Juice WRLD, who died from an overdose. And all these rappers get together and do this big thing to talk, to support or bring, I don't know, right? I really don't know much about rap music. But this dude here, and for those on the audio only, I'll have to explain this to you. This guy's the kind of fat that you sit here and look at and go, I don't even understand. And he was lashing out at Snoop Dogg, who told him to put down chicken wings. I think this dude needs to put down more than the chicken wings. He's sitting on a couch. This poor couch looks like it's curved, like it's about to go. He's got the kind of fat where your ass fat hangs down. I'm just trying to describe it for people who can't see it. You know, where the ass fat hangs down to, like, where your knees bend in the back. Like, where there's that giant fat flap thing in the – you don't even really understand how this works. Okay, I'm going to play what he had to say for you, and then I'm going to cut it off before you have to listen to him drop his lyrics.
Hey, Chicago, do y'all have a problem with me sitting down on this stage? Exactly. Get the fuck off my dick, Snoop Dogg.
All right, that's about all of that I think you can handle. Okay, this dude, somebody says he's 600 pounds. This guy is over 600 pounds if he exists. All right, this is morbidly obese on another level. But the reason I brought it up today, because you're about to hear a whole bunch about healthcare. I promise you, you're about to hear a lot about it. And Donald Trump doesn't care about your healthcare, and he has no plan, right? And for those, again, that didn't see this, the man has an oxygen tank, and a cannulated oxygen tank for his nose that he's taken off for long enough to rap, and he's going to have to put it back in so he can breathe. So this man can't stand. He's sitting on a couch that's about to collapse, and he needs oxygen to be able to perform, which is basically running his mouth while he's sitting on his fat ass. How many times have you heard the following? Healthcare is a human right. All healthcare should be free. Do you think that people should give up their hard-earned money to provide this man healthcare? He clearly doesn't care about his own health. But and how many of these people, like, how many have you seen recently, these people that they don't believe that it's right for an airline to charge them for two seats on an airplane? They want this. The same accommodations that everybody else gets. That's what you're getting. If your ass takes two seats, you pay for two seats. Let's say you were traveling and you wanted your carry-on to sit in a seat next to you instead of the overhead compartment. And, you know, it could be restrained. And the airline was like, okay, do you think they're going to give you that seat for free because that's what you want? You're making a choice, right? And we're not talking about people that are like, I could see the person, let's say you got this giant type guy, right? Not obese or anything. Just some people are huge and saying, like, I'm just physically larger. maybe they could make a case. I don't even think so, though. I think if you want service, and the service is you get this much space for this much money, and you want this much space, you have to pay for the extra space. It's like the postal system, right? Like, I can't go to the post office and mail you this coffee cup for the same amount of money that I could mail you, let's say, I don't know, 5 basketballs, even though they're not heavy. Maybe they weigh the same as this coffee cup. Maybe I could get something like 5 coffee cups or 5 basketballs. I'm going to pay more, not just for weight, but for space and weight combined. That's how it works. But these people, they all want it, free health care. Now, there's some people that maybe we should give some health care to for free. Like, maybe put them in mental asylums or something. And this is the next people that I have for you. So there's this whole group of people in Wisconsin. And I love the way I know some of you don't like RT, but this is the way RT phrased this. Let me get this on the screen for you, and then we'll play it real quick. But whoever posted it for RT on X said, a group of Wisconsin women and their simps unleashed the fury of 1,000 Karens in a collectivist scream-a-thon at Lake Michigan, venting their frustration of Trump's victory and general existence. Lake Michigan seemed unperturbed by the phenomenon. Now, I will point out this stupidity when I see it from time to time. But again, I'm not doing this like pick on these people as individuals. I don't know the name of a single person featured in this video. I will not take any time to figure that out. I will not give them directly any, slack or heat or whatever for it. That's not what this is about. This is about the mental state of society and the mental derangement syndrome to believe that this has any impact on the world. And so let me play this for you. They're very angry about Trump. They're all standing out in the cold on the shore of Lake Michigan. There's about 1,000 people, apparently, and this is what they did. Again, I'm just pointing out, like, there's multiple problems with this. And homesteading heathens is mental illness. Yes, this is mental illness. But this is mass mental illness that has become acceptable in society. Like, if somebody was going to do this, a number of years ago, they would never film it and put it online. They would never say, hey, look at us doing this, because they would know that, like, society is going to be like, these people are mentally incompetent, and maybe they need to go to a special home or something, but at least, like, an employer is going to be like, oh, yeah, you're one of those people that was, like, losing your shit and hugging your fat friend and screaming and crying at the lake because the guy you didn't like got elected into office. And you actually thought somebody would care. See, that's the bigger thing here. These people think somebody cares. There is a shitload of this type of thing going on. I didn't get a link for you or anything, but there was this group of women. Again, it's always liberal women doing this. So like RT said, liberal women and their simps. But these liberal Argentinian, they're like straight up socialists. And they're doing some kind of weird dance and angry and enraged because Miley, Elon, and Trump. Right, Miley's their actual president. Elon and Trump have nothing to do with them whatsoever. But they're losing their shit over it. It looks like some kind of morphed version of that dance like the New Zealanders do. Like the New Zealand rugby team comes out and does this island dance. It was like threatening to eat the other side is where this – because I don't know if you know this or not, but if you know the dance I'm talking about, there's a point where like stick their tongues out, and that's what it is. It's like threatening, when we kill you, we're going to eat you, right? That's where that came from. It's actually an indigenous tribes dance that the New Zealand football team does, or I'm sorry, rugby team does. So they're doing some weird version of that, except they're holding their hearts. Or I don't know. This is, yeah, haka. I think that's what it's called, right? The fact that these people do this and they think that it would have any impact whatsoever on society, like anybody that was on the other side will turn around and care. Anybody that's in the middle will become an activist for their side. This is mental illness. And I think the bigger takeaway from all this mental illness is that they caused this to happen and they did it on purpose. And now you're seeing the manifestation of it. So the deep state, the media, right, the left as a whole, we're so all in on we cannot let Trump win. They lathered up mental illness and they made it look normal. You actually have people that are trying to make the case that it's okay to sexually alter a prepubescent child with a straight face. And anybody that wants to prevent that, or anybody that even asks a question about it, is a fascist. Okay, that's mental illness. I'm sorry, I'll probably get demonetized. This video might get taken down. I might go to YouTube prison for a month this time. I don't know, but it's the truth, and I'm not going to be afraid to say it. They have made it that way. Now, what happened was we got COVID, and they created a mental illness around COVID. And when they finally had to just say, you know what, we're opening society, we're not going to make people cover their faces anymore. If you want to get a jab, you get a jab. If you don't, you don't. We're going back to life as normal. The mentally ill people had found comfort in a systemized version of mental illness. What did Brett Weinstein call it? I can't think of the term now. Mass psychosis. Right? Like a mass psychosis. Well, when you're crazy and then you normalize mass psychosis, and there was another word he put in there, right? Then you feel comfortable. Now you can be crazy and you're like everybody else. Well, when that went away, all the crazies and the people that have been made crazy by the 24/7 fear campaign around this shit were left with nothing to be crazy for. So they brought in all the woke craziness and they handed them that and they embraced it. And then they told them shit like, if Donald Trump becomes president, you won't be able to get an abortion at all, infinity. You're going to become the handmaid's tale. You're going to be used to make babies against your will, right? That's why you have these psychotic women going out and sterilizing themselves. Why else would you do that? I mean, if you don't want to have a kid, there's a lot of options other than abortion. And even the states with abortion bans, you could still get an abortion 6 weeks, 8 weeks, some 16 weeks, 22 weeks. I think one of the things the people that are anti-abortion need to start doing is stop using the term weeks. Stop using the term weeks. Because what is 16 weeks? How many months? Just under four. 4 months. And these people are losing. And then they're in California and they're worried that they can't have an abortion in Texas. It's crazy. This is insanity. And no matter where you, there it is. Adrian's got it. And so does John Dukes, right? Mass formation psychosis. That's what this is. And the reason I bring it up on a show called The Survival Podcast is these people walk among us. And this is something that I think we need to get in our heads right now. Right now. These people will be in power again. First of all, a whole bunch of them are never leaving power. No matter how much purging Elon and Vivek and Orange Man and all do, a whole shitload of them will stay in the deep state. The people that are the real controllers of the deep state, their claws are deep in. They are not getting yanked out. You need freaking explosives to blow them out, and that ain't going to happen. But what I'm talking about is the major power apparatus. 2028, 2032, whatever it is, you will have the Democrats running the show again. It always swings back and forth. It always swings back and forth. It's not going to stop. And you can only do so much that when the other side takes over, that they can't just swing it back to the way it was. And that's why they're freaking out right now, because they know that all the things that they put in place that were done with bullshit and executive orders, if one president can do it with an executive order, another person can undo it with an executive order. If one president can undo a thing with an executive order, another president can redo another thing with an executive order, like close a fucking border. So they're losing their shit. Now, there is some hope in all this? It looks like I lost the link, so I'll just tell you about it. Elon Musk was recently interviewed. I got a link in the show notes in the audio version. It's linked down there in the video notes if you need to get over there. Not there yet until we're done with the live. Elon Musk said, and this is a quote, there are around 428 federal agencies. Let me say that again. 428 federal agencies. I did that from memory. It could be 432. It could be 429. I think it was 428. But over 400 federal agencies. There are so many that people have never even heard of. I think we should be able to get away with like 99 agencies. I'm sure the ones we most want chopped will never go away, and I'm sure we won't get down to 99. But did you know there's an entire federal agency that monitors ice in rivers? Federal agency that monitors how much ice there is in rivers. I'm not saying that it's not a good idea to know what the ice flow is on major river systems. I'm not saying that's not a good idea. I'm just saying I don't think we need an entire federal agency dedicated to just that one thing. So basically, Elon wants to get rid of about 300 federal agencies. When I posted the promo for this show on X, one of the people that responded said, and I'm gonna highlight that from Adrian, and we'll come back to it because it's very valid, and I was going there anyway. But the person said, I didn't even know there were 300 federal agencies, let alone eliminate 300 federal agencies. Elon's right. But here's what Adrian said and where I was going. More than one per year of the USA's HIS, I think he meant existence. Think about that. The United States will have our 250th centennial as a country in 2026. So it's not quite two, but it's damn close. And if you think about it, it probably is about two per year because we didn't create a whole bunch of federal agencies in the very beginning. We've created about two federal agencies per year for the majority of our existence. And we can't understand, oh, it says HIS and it got cut off. He said history. More than one per year of the United States history. It's almost two. Does anybody really think we need this? And watch, every single, I'm telling you, when they lay off one person, the media is going to act like the world's over, let alone cut out an entire agency or a department within an agency. But everybody says they want the government cut. This is the mass formation psychosis of the left, the right, the middle, everybody combined. I've talked about this for years. Everybody says they want cuts. Everybody says they want. Is there anybody here that will tell me right now to think that we do not have room to cut the federal government? We just can't do it. We can't cut $1 from what we have. Is there anybody in the live stream that will say that right now? But I bet you I'm about to get a bunch of no's. And I bet you when I get those no's, whoever says that no, if I start labeling things to cut, that person will say, well, not that, not the military, not the military. And the person that doesn't say not the military, what about Social Security? Oh, not that. Okay, they're the two biggest expenses we have. Right? The third biggest expense we have is interest on the debt. We really can't cut the interest on the debt. It's money we already borrowed. Like, the only way to cut it would be to refinance it. Who do you refinance it with, right? By borrowing more money and transferring the debt from one formal bond to another, how long do we have almost no interest rate at all? And a lot of the debt is in that low interest rate. What are you going to do? It's not like Reagan taking over from Carter, where he actually was able to do that to a degree while spending more money. So this is a collective problem that people think we need to cut the spending, but no one's willing to cut anything that actually is the primary expense. Look, I'm all for cutting. I'm all for cutting a tremendous number of these agencies. I agree. If you can't get it done with 100 agencies, I don't want to hear about it. And I don't even want 100. I don't want 100 federal agencies. But 428 down to 100? Okay, I'll take it. I'll call it a win. But do you know what it won't do? It won't change the calculus on our national debt. It won't matter. As expensive as it is, it's not the real expense. Because you know what they're not going to cut? The Social Security Administration, which is one of the biggest agencies there is. Because the old people have to get their money. What if, here's a crazy fucking idea, right? What if we just did this? People pay into Social Security, and there's different levels of retirement, 63, 65, 67, whatever it is. And when somebody said, I want my fucking money, we gave them their fucking money. We didn't have all kinds of hoops and bullshit for them to jump through. You just, it was like getting it from your bank. You hit a certain age, you can start withdrawing from your retirement account. You push a button on a screen and the money comes. Why are we evaluating whether a person's entitled to their own Social Security because they still make too much money? We already pay tax on Social Security is the way it's really works. They look like it's no tax. It's a back-end tax by withholding it and saying you make too much money to draw it. Why don't you just say, here's your fucking money. And if you're going to call it income, call it fucking income. I think it's bullshit, but wouldn't it be simpler? Like, I'm 65. How many people do you need to do that? We could eliminate like 95% of the Social Security Administration. Get rid of it. Person reaches retirement age, they get their fucking retirement. The end. The end. What about fraud? We have fucking fraud everywhere right now, and the government's not protecting us from it. It would probably be less fraud if it was simply a check. Is this fucking person the person they say they are, and are they this age? They're already in the system. We know what they paid in. We know what they get out. Boom. Automation. Done. We don't need it. But you talk about this and people lose their minds, right? What is the solution? It's always more money. Teaching sucks. The schools suck. Our kids are graduating and they're not even able to fucking read at the eighth grade level when they graduate the 12th grade. What do we need? More money for teachers. Where the fuck do we do this in the real world? Where the fuck do we get people? Like, this guy is so shitty. He's doing his job at 70% of what's expected. Give him a raise. Where does that happen outside of government? I know you might know one Karen in HR that got a raise they shouldn't have, but in general, when people fail to meet expectations in their job, they're lucky to keep their job. They certainly don't get raises unless they're in the government or they're in some sort of private company that is attached to government. We have like more than half of federal fucking workers who are supposed to go to the office, don't even go to the office anymore. We have damn near empty buildings that they're paying maintenance and rent on that are not necessary. But even if we cut all of that, it won't change the calculus on the debt. The majority of our debt, Social Security, national defense, interest on the debt. Nobody wants to cut those. We need to cut them. And we need to cut them heavily. Heavily, heavily, heavily. We have the ability to end all our life on Earth with nuclear weapons. Our country alone. If nobody else launched anything, we just launch everything at once, we could end all life on the planet. I think we're good on defense, right? We are the least attackable nation that's ever existed because of that. And I'm all for making sure that our military is lethal and efficient at doing its fucking job, which is not policing the world, defending our fucking borders and our fucking nation. And we could do that on a fraction of what we spend right now and do a hell of a lot better job of it by, you know, doing things like we don't need woke DEI bullshit in our military. Our military is to make other people dead. I don't care if you don't like it when it's put that way. The purpose of a military is if other nations attack you to fucking kill them until they stop. That's it. I don't care if you're a cook, a supply person, a TAMS clerk, right? I don't care what you do in the military. Your job is to, in the end, to support the troops that make other motherfuckers dead. In the words of George Patton, no poor bastard. This is an actual quote from George Patton. No poor bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. You win a war by making some other poor bastard die for their country. So when people are like, well, you know, you're supposed to be for peace. I am for peace. And the first way I want to handle peace is I'm not worried about defending Germany or Japan, right? I'm not worried about fucking with Russia and Ukraine. I'm worried about the United States of fucking America. That's what I'm worried about. It's isolationist. No, it's not. Isolationism is we're going to retreat into our country like Aido, Japan, right? and we're not going to do trade or commerce or be involved with the rest of the world at all. That's isolationism. Saying I'm not going to bomb a foreign country unless it attacks me. Or at least when you say my allies by agreed upon treaty with reciprocity in it. Right? We can at least do that. Can we at least do that? Okay. You want us to defend South Korea, who we have a treaty with? Sure. Japan? Okay. Okay. Germany? Sure. NATO? Okay, fine. I think that all needs to be shrunk and roles need to be reassigned and stuff like that, but okay. Why are we defending nations we're calling allies that we have no alliance with? Ukraine's not a fucking ally. Show me the alliance. See, when you use words, they fucking matter. They matter. Words matter. When you say they're our ally, that implies that we have an agreement to mutually defend each other and support each other. Okay, that only means something if the two countries signed an agreement to do that. Do you know what alliance we have with Ukraine? Absolutely nothing. Zero. We have no alliance with Ukraine. Ukraine is under no obligation to do anything if anybody attacks the United States. But we're supposed to be under an obligation to defend one little tiny strip of their country populated by Russians, where they conducted a civil war for 8 fucking years on the Russian border because they're our allies. We've all lost our minds. And the deep state seems intent on creating World War fucking 3 before Trump gets into office. Because they know the day he gets into office, everything changes. That doesn't mean he's going to fix everything. You know, I'm not, what's his name? Camacho, President Camacho from Idiocracy, saying, we got this guy, Orange Man. He's the smartest man in the world. He going to fix everything. He going to make the crops grow. That ain't me. That's never been me. You guys know that, but it will change. And it will take power from them. And it won't take all their power, but they are so power hungry, so power greedy. They've created these mentally ill fucking people to help hold on to their power. You actually have people now, left-wing lunatic woke Democrats who think that women who complain about men in their sports are awful, horrible fascists, and everybody needs love and kindness and caring and consideration, threatening to kill people and advocating for World War III. Well, we have to do it. They have no idea what World War III even means. Anybody that's advocating for aggression against Russia, who isn't old enough to have ever gotten under their fucking desk at school, needs to shut your fucking mouth and go look up an old TV special, two-night series called The Day After, and watch it until you wake the fuck up. That's what you need to do. You need to shut up. You want to be woke? How about being waked up? Because even Ronald Reagan saw that and said, oh, fuck, no, I got to get on the phone with the Russians. We got to do something about this. And then he complained because all the Russian guys kept dying before he could meet with any of the new premiers. Right, he finally was able to meet with Gorbachev and work some shit out and walk us back from the precipice of World War III. And these motherfuckers have taken, what, 4 decades to get right back to that same precipice? Probably worse than we were in the 80s. We're probably worse than we were in the 80s right now because more people have more fucking nukes. Now, we don't have more in quantity, but we have more in capability. We can blow more shit up than at any time in history. More lethal. Yeah, American legend says the U.S. keeps poking the bear. And I'm really hoping that the Orange Man's back channel with Putin is going to be enough to like, dude, please don't. I know what they're doing. I understand. We got, you know, a month and 25 days now. Like, give me time. I'll fix it. We'll at least be able to negotiate. We'll at least be able to have a reasonable discussion. Yeah. There's a lot of comments here that are great today. I don't really have time for them, though. Next I got, oh, God. You know, does anybody else remember that any time anybody ever talked about something like Texas seceding from the Union? Racism! Fascism! Traitor! You know, if you just said the words 10th Amendment, they started shrieking. Right? About this. He's like, you know, you're a racist. Slavery. Like, a New York politician is advocating for secession. Didn't we already try that? Is the headline you know, here. And this is a right-wing news source, just to be totally open. But here's my thing. These same people are doing the same thing, right? Or these different people are doing the same thing that these other, in other words, we had all of these left-wing loons shrieking that anybody that talked about secession was a traitor and a racist and a fascist and whatever else they came up with. Pro-slavery and the Civil War ended that, and it could never be discussed again because there was one war fought and the people that didn't want it won. It's ridiculous that now the right is basically saying this is treason, this woman should be hung. Shut the fuck up. She can say whatever she wants. This is a state member of the state legislature, not a federal senator or federal member of the House. A state legislature member has very little power, in all honesty. Way less than I think a lot of people think. Her saying this means absolutely nothing. She knows it means nothing. This is going nowhere. But her proposal is interesting. Because, again, lunacy is interesting to see in action. And you have to ask yourself, why is she doing this? Why is she doing this? Do you think one day she woke up recently and said, you know what, I'm going to go on TV? No one talked to her about it. No one put her up to it. She just, oh, I got this idea. New York should withhold all this money it owes the federal government and the tax transfer that it's going to come at the end of the year. And partner with like Massachusetts and Connecticut and a couple other left-wing liberal lunatic states and become part of Canada. Do you really think this woman came up with this all by herself? Or do you think there's an entire mainstream media apparatus and puppet masters that went to her and said, hey, say this. Don't worry, you're going to keep your seat. It doesn't matter. You're going to move up in office or something. We got something for you. But we need someone who's completely safe and saying lunatic shit to say lunatic shit. Which one do you think is more likely? This is all about stirring this up and getting this talk going and getting us back on a path towards some sort of civil conflict. I don't know that it's really civil war they're looking for. They want violence, though. The state loves violence because it only has one real tool, and it's violence. No matter what the state claims, its only tool in the end is violence. Because when they pass a law as simple as if you sell loose cigarettes in the street, you buy a pack of cigarettes and you go out and sell one cigarette at a time to people who want to buy it, you're in trouble. Okay, great. I'm in trouble. And they killed the guy over it. They choked the guy to death over that. Because in the end, the only means of enforcement is violence. And you say, no, no, sometimes it's not violence, it's just a fine. Well, what happens when I don't pay the fine? Then they issue a warrant for my arrest. So either they come to my house or law enforcement encounters me, somebody else says, you have a warrant for speeding, for jaywalking. Well, I know, and I'm not going to do nothing about it. Well, I'm going to take you to jail. Okay, you're going to kidnap me over the fact I walked across the street against the wishes of a fucking light. Yeah, well, I'm not going. What happens next? Tasers, pepper sprays, a beating, being bit by a dog. In the end, every single restriction, every single code, every single law in America is forced through violence and only violence. So when all you have is violence, then you want your enemy to commit violence because that allows you to unleash violence at a higher level. Okay? That's what you're seeing with all of this here. And it's just more trying to gin up things and get us to fight with each other and get us to begin to have more of the same type of shit that we had during, you know, the Summer of Love, right? And the George Floyd riots and all that shit. They love that. They love that. And they don't care who's in power when it happens. They just care that it happens. All right. Now, you ever realize that greatest hits are a thing? Like, not just for the music industry. Like, if you go to a concert, you always want to hear the greatest hits of the band, especially when a band's like 30 years old and they're like, here's our new album. You're like, no, fuck that. I didn't come here for that. If it's, you know, Bog and Turner Overdrive, you know, I want to hear Taking Care of Business, right? You know, when Jimmy Buffett was still around, I want to hear Pencil Thin Mustache. Why Don't We Get Drunk, Margaritaville, right? I don't want to hear your new shit. I'll even listen to your new shit, but you better give me your greatest hits. isn't it odd though when you like get greatest hits from like a comedian? You already know the joke, but you want to hear him tell it live again when you're at like one of his shows. Ron White talked about that. Like, here, I'm a comedian with greatest hits. You already heard this shit, but I'll say it again because you want to hear it, right? Well, what about the media and the greatest hits? Hey, let me read this. Russia's war economy is hitting its limits. So apparently, and this is, this publication is telling us, and this is all over the place too. This was just the article I found for you. This is on CNN. This is even on Fox. This is on MSNBC, which I really don't like using the term news and MSNBC together because they're not news at all. At least CNN and Fox try to pretend to be news. But supposedly, like, you know, they're using bicycle clips for tanks now or some shit because they don't have enough money to produce enough. It basically, the greatest hit is Putin's literally running out of bullets again, and it's a lie again. There's this idea that has been perpetrated since the conflict in Ukraine began. Ukraine is just one more check from the United States, one more weapon shipment from the United States, just one more away from total victory. They'll take back the Donbas and Crimea. That's not happening. It's never going to happen. You could say I'm a tool of Putin or whatever lunatic shit you come up with when I tell you that. But telling you the truth doesn't make me pro-Russia. It doesn't make me pro-Putin. It just doesn't. If I tell you, because I look at a radar screen, that a fucking hurricane is about to hit where you live, it doesn't make me pro-hurricane. It makes me logical and reasonable and say, hey, you need to get the fuck out of here. Like, there are people that get mad at the weatherman because it rains. That's what you're doing with me if you get mad at me for telling you what's going on in Ukraine. Russia is the largest manufacturer of weapons in the world. And it costs Russia a lot less money to make a 1,000-pound bomb than it costs us to make a 1,000-pound bomb. Okay? They don't need as much money as we have. They have a lower cost of production. They have a massive country. They have all the resources that they need in their own borders to make all the fucking weapons that they want to make, especially if you just want things to blow up and explode, right? You want to get a smart technology and all, what have we done? We threw them into Xi Jinping's arms. We've created an alliance between China and Russia stronger than it's ever been by our bullshit over a place in the world that most Americans couldn't find on a fucking map if you took the labels off the map. And many Americans couldn't find it if you left the fucking labels on the map. They wouldn't know where to look. They have no idea where it is. If you told them it's right next to Russia, they'd probably be looking at Mongolia and going, is this it? This is Mongolia. Is that Ukraine? That's how stupid these people are. And they're willing to risk World War III because they're that fucking ignorant. But here's the truth about Ukraine right now. I don't care how much weapons you give them. They don't have the manpower. So many people have run away. So many people have been injured beyond the ability to return. And so many people have been killed, never to fight again. That the manpower necessary to prosecute the war, I don't care what weaponry you give them, it's not there. And what is our government doing on its way out? What is Biden doing fiddling on the roof while the whole fucking place burns while this goes on? Well, his surrogates are advising Ukraine as follows. Lower your draft age to 18. See, I guess 25 is when you're subject to conscription in Ukraine. It's 25 or 21. We're like, well, we send young kids off to get their dicks blown off. Why don't you too? They can always transition when they come home. Or we can buy them hookers and send them to the hospital for them. Because they did that shit in Ukraine too. Are your tax dollars paid for hookers to go to hospitals? Look it up. I'm not kidding. That shit happened. So we're getting, it's all copium. The greatest hits are being played. Now, you have to ask yourself, why are they willing to do this? Why are they willing to risk World War III? Well, there's a couple reasons. One, they don't think it's actually going to happen. They really don't. They don't think that it will actually go into full-on World War III the way we think of it. So what they expect is, we could say it's Putin's threatening nuclear weapons to jazz everybody up. And when somebody threatens to use nuclear weapons, what you probably shouldn't do is get more aggressive with them because then they might do it, right? But they don't think he will. We'll have a conventional war, and Russia's really just the term I keep hearing thrown around is a paper tiger. Man, you have no fucking idea what you're fucking with when you fuck with that military. Am I saying that they're better than our military? No, I'm not. I actually don't think they are. But I think if you they have a distinctive advantage of doing, you know, having conflict on their own continent. And I don't want a hot war with Russia because it could precipitate nuclear war. So I think what they think they can do is create like this broad regional conflict. It'll be World War III, but it won't be what everybody thinks of as World War III. It'll be kind of like World War II, but like not that bad. And that way they can make billions of dollars and hold on to power. Because what it really comes down to is they cannot stand to lose a fucking millimeter of power. They can't stomach it. All they want is control, power, and money. And the fact that they would still be incredibly wealthy and incredibly powerful and have massive control is not enough. To give up one inch of gain, they're not willing to do it. And they're willing to risk the death of your children and your grandchildren for it. Yeah. Hunter says paper cuts hurt the worst. Yeah. Yeah, you can get a big paper cut from that paper tiger, I promise you. Then Cackles, I'm going to have to try to find this. Kamala Harris did this kind of weird video that I'm calling her farewell video, and I'm just going to scroll through and see if I can find it. I can't believe I missed putting that one up for you guys today, but she sounds drunk. And I know that we had that kind of meme running all the way through the election. Kamala's drunk. She's a wine auntie, whatever. She's drinking too much Franzia over and over that this came up. And here it is. Here it is. Let's see here. But I think most people kind of took it as, well, what it really is Kamala is just not that smart. There's a reason she has the nickname Cackles, and she talks like a moron, and she does this moving back and forth between accents depending on her freaking, you know, audience, and she's black one day, and she's Indian the next day, and she's a redneck the next day or whatever. And so people kind of took it as just political football. This is something different. This is like, I'm going to play it for you. You probably have heard it, but just to make sure everybody has when we're talking about it, I'll play 28 seconds. And this is 28 of the worst seconds of, like, I think it was like a 20-minute video. But listen to this crap.
I just have to remind you, don't you ever let anybody take your power from you. You have the same power that you did before November 5th. And you have the same purpose that you did. And you have the same ability to engage and inspire. So don't ever let anybody or any circumstance take your power from you. I just.
This is not the face or the voice of a well human being. I do think this woman has a substance abuse problem, and it probably is at least in part alcohol. This is what alcoholic psychosis looks like. John says she looks dehydrated. It also looks, this does look dehydrated. She looks like she's aged 10 years. And I think some people played like an unfair game to Cackles. And you could be unfair if you want to, but I think it was unfair. And that is, they took like her vice presidential portrait and put it next to the image you're seeing right now and said, what's wrong? You know, when that picture was taken, it was airbrushed and everything. But if you just look at this and you compare it to, let's say, a speech that she gave or a rally that she held just a month ago, it's a night and day difference. This woman in this video, her hair is disheveled. She has more wrinkles than you would ever notice on her in any other setting. She is not coherent even for her. And I believe what happened here as to the creation of the video, that she's crawled into a hole. All right. She is so disappointed So distraught. I think she really believed she was going to win. I think plenty of people who knew she wasn't going to win told her she had it in the bag. I think she really believed, this is my shot, I'm going to be president. And I want you to, like, they've talked about her running again. That's not happening. That's not happening. Hillary will run in 28 before she will. And Hillary's going to be way too old by then. But I think she really thought she had a shot. Like, I don't even think she had a shot. I think she thought it was in the bag. And I think this is the reality that came over. She said, nobody, no, you know, nothing, don't let anybody take in your power. You have as much power as you did before the election as you do after the election. Yeah, we do, but you don't, bitch. And you know it. Like, vice president is one of the most vice president of the United States, one of the most powerful people on the planet. People think the vice president doesn't do anything. They have a lot of influence, a lot of power, a lot of control. And they are treated at a level commensurate with being president from a standpoint of resources and manpower and Secret Service protection and money, right? They fly around with foreign dignitaries. Their every need is seen to. What's next for Cackles? Where does she go from here? What job, what position will be anything like what she had for 4 years? They've talked about her running for governor of California. Even California's not that stupid. California didn't want her. She ended up placed in a position to be the attorney general. And she ended up placed in a position to be a senator. Do you think anybody's going to place her in a position now? Think, oh, Willie, Big Willie's going to do anything to help her now? No. She's not going to be governor of California. She's not going to be a senator again. Nobody goes from being president back to being a senator. That's just not really a thing. She can go be a pretend university professor. That's not really that great, though, is it? Ask Biden. He supposedly did it, right? He taught constitutional law and the Second Amendment. No, you didn't. Liar. I guess she can go give some speeches. But the big money for speeches really isn't for ex-vice presidents. It's for people that might become president someday, or it's people that were presidents that still have lots of connections and get things done. This woman can't get things done. This is not a woman who has a lot of people willing to cooperate with her. And the establishment went all in on Cackles, didn't they? I mean, her best day, her highest approval rating in her political career was the day after they handed her the nomination, and it went nothing but down after that. Right? Boom, right. She went from being the least popular vice president in the history of the country, less popular than Dick Cheney, who turned around and endorsed her. I guess I would too if I had somebody that much. Like, I'm no longer the most hated vice president in the history of the country anymore, right? Jimmy Carter probably voted for her because he hoped, like, he would die not being the worst president. I don't know. But I think that she, like, the reality is setting in. And I think she probably went on a bender for multiple weeks and then thought this was a good idea. But there's something else to it. Did you see who posted that? Not the whole speech, just the little 28-second segment that makes her look as bad as possible. The Democrats. The DNC posted it too. The people that run the Democrat Party are promoting this. Do you know what this is? This is Brandon's debate 2.0. Why do you think they let Joe Biden debate before the convention at 9 o'clock at night against Donald fucking Trump? Because they want to get rid of him. Trump's biggest miscalculation in this election was agreeing to that debate. Had Trump not agreed to that debate, Biden would have went through the nomination process and it would have been too late to pull him out. It was the plan all along, and it says something about Orange Man's judgment that he and his advisors couldn't see that. And I guess if they did see it, they thought maybe he had a better chance against Kamala than Biden. And in the end, it worked, so I guess nobody loses their job, and what their play did worked. But can you imagine what would have happened if in September that debate happened? The landslide that Trump got would have been much bigger. Much bigger. So it was a big miscalculation. Here's the key. What you do is more important than all of this. I cover this stuff once in a while the way we cover the weather events. Like, you need to know what's coming. You need to know what's around you. You need to know the people that are out there. I think some things will get better under Trump and some things will get worse. Some things will get better because of what the Trump administration does or doesn't do. Some things will get worse because of what the Trump administration does or doesn't do. But the things that will get the most worse of all will be things that there's nothing to be done now. There is no out. You know, Trump's running around and he is shrieking about the BRICS countries and creating their own currency. And I will put a big ass tariff. And let's put a pin in the tariff thing for a second right now. On the tariff thing. I've got so much shit from libertarians. Yeah, it's supposed to be for taxes. I'm not. I think there should be no taxes at all, the end infinity, but we have taxes. And I'll tell you right now, if I could push a button to get this deal, every single item imported to the United States from any country, anywhere, no matter who they are, will be subject to a 25% tariff. Okay? Hold on before you get mad. Hold on. That's one side of the deal. The other side of the deal is the abolishment of federal income tax. I'd take that deal that fast. But we're going to pay, yes, but I'm going to pay it when I choose to buy a thing. Not when I earn money. And not when I save money. And not when I keep my money. And not when I invest my money. Because capital gains is a form of, you guessed it, income tax. Okay? So if I can get rid of tax on my income in return for what is truly a voluntary tax that actually worked for this country for like 100 fucking years, that we didn't have an income tax, how do you think the government ran? How do you think the government ran? So that's a, but I also have said that if I was in charge, my tariff policy would be, I will tariff you at 2 times what you tariff me at. That's what I tell China. Whatever your highest tariff is on American imports, and I don't care if it's one item, if you tariff me at 50% on one thing that comes into your country, I tariff you on 100% of everything that comes into my country. You tariff me at 5, I tariff you at 10. You tariff me at 2, I tariff you at 4. You tariff me at 100, I tariff you at 200. It's a trade war. But wait a minute. See, there's an easy way. There's an easy way to negate that policy, isn't there? What's 2 times 0? You want free trade? Fine. Let's stop talking about free trade and have it. Free trade is not the United States lets everybody import their shit with no tariffs or duties on it, and we have to pay tariffs or duties when we export our shit to them. That's not free trade. That's called a trade fucking imbalance, right? That's called they get to protect their local markets, and we don't. So I love the 2X, right? But what Trump's really doing with tariffs is it is one of the few king-like powers the president of the United States has. The left has acted like Trump is now king. He could just be like, I want all these women put in red and white robes and run off to the handmaid's department. And I'm implementing Project 25 that I never had anything to do with. And it's a national, like, you can just do all this shit. If you understand the most basic civics, you know that that's, but we don't teach that anymore, right? So Biden couldn't do all the shit he said he would do, but Trump can because he's orange, I guess. I don't know. So there's not that many things that a president can just do. There's a lot they can do with executive orders, but you can't do those types of things. There's 2 things a president can do at will. Close a border, okay? And that can still even be fought with the courts. But in the end, the president can close the fucking border. When Biden's like, we need the bipartisan bill so I can close the border. Now, a phone call closes the border and tariffs. A president can just say, we're tariffing this shit at this much now. So that's the hammer. So he's going to tariff Mexico at 25% and are hyperventilating over the price of a fucking avocado. Shut the fuck up. But what was the whole statement? See, the game doesn't change. You say only a piece of what Orange Man said, not the whole thing. Unless Mexico stops the caravans and the fentanyl from coming into the United States. And like 5 minutes after he said that, the president of Mexico, she picks the phone up, she calls him and says, we'll do that. And that means you don't get the tariff. That's what Orange Man's doing. Whatever thing he wants another country to do, if they're a trade partner with the United States, I need you to do the thing. You don't want to do the thing? Then I'm going to then I'll tariff you and I'll use the money to do the thing myself. You don't want the tariff? Do the thing. Is that the way to handle every issue? No, but if you give a guy like Trump one tool, and it's a hammer, he's going to hammer the fuck out of everything that looks like a nail. And every problem with every other country will look like a nail. But the other side of it is a carrot and a stick, right? I'll beat you, but you can have this. So that's what's really going on there. I want to talk to you, though, about some good stuff I'm working on. Because in the end, this all comes down to something I've said forever. These new regulations are going to fundamentally alter the way that I get around them, right? The way we live our lives is more important than all this other shit. Trump will not fix it for you. I guarantee you, your mind will not be able to comprehend the amount of addition to the debt in the next 4 years because it's already in motion. It's already in motion. Imagine when you pay your credit card bills minimum balance. That's how our government handles our debt. They pay the minimum balance. If you don't charge one more thing and you pay the minimum balance, you'll never pay off your credit card, right? And the interest will still be the majority of the expense. So the debt will grow because we will borrow more money to do all the shit Orange Man promised to do. And no matter how much money is gutted from the system by Elon and Vivek and Doge, it's still going to run unabated. So you have to be working your own business, your life, your homestead, your family, et cetera. Here's some things I got coming. One, I've got a new way to make charcoal, sort of coming. In fact, it's already out. I did a video last week before I went off on using a Weber kettle grill to make biochar. It worked so good that I've created a playlist now of follow-ups on it and a new way to crush biochar, also sort of. The reason I say sort of is a kettle grill is a kiln. It's what it is. It's a cone kiln. So it's shaped exactly like a cone kiln. Most people have one already. And what I would encourage you to do, if you want to start making biochar, the Weber kettle is probably the place to start doing it with like a cone kiln design because, and I put the Weber kettle out as an item of the day last week. I think I sold two of them or something like that. And somebody pointed something out. I don't even want to like recommend you go buy one new unless you just want one anymore. These things are everywhere. And I checked in my area, Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. Some of them are like almost brand new and they're $25. Like some of them are $50, like the most like tricked out Weber Deluxes, like $50. And the lady that had it advertised on Marketplace said, I bought it for my husband. He used it three times, got a Blackstone. He won't use it anymore. So it's been used three times. It's a $250 grill for $50. You just got to go pick it up. So I think that would be a great way to go. But when I came up with crushing char, I've been through everything. I've done the wood chipper, the leaf shredder. I've looked at people using garbage disposals. I've looked at these expensive equipment to do that. All this shit, right? Thank you, Jeff. I'll cover that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Auto industry, I do need to cover that. Anyway, but I want to finish this first. But like the most accessible method that people have to crush biochar is put it in a feed bag and drive a truck over it. Well, I've done this a bunch. And I've never been satisfied with the results. And instead of doing the definition of insanity, keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, I stopped for a second and said, why doesn't this work? Charcoal's, you know, you pick a big lump of charcoal that you drove your truck over like three times, and you take your thumb and your forefinger and smash it with your hand. Why didn't the heavy truck smash it? Because you're compacting it instead of crushing it. And what happens is we take all the biochar that came out of the kiln, we put it in a bag, we drive the truck over it. And you got little tiny dust particles. You got fines. You got 1/8. You got 1/4. You got 1/2. You got big pieces. And what happens when you do that? You get compaction because there's no airspace left after a couple passes. The little pieces fill in the little gaps. And now you're just pushing it onto itself, and it's all the same hardness. So I had an idea. What would happen if I took screens and I screened out the half inch, the stuff that would go through a half inch screen, and then screen that for the stuff that would go through a quarter inch screen. Put it in three different buckets, take the stuff that went through the quarter inch screen. I don't need to worry, that's done. And then crush the half inch material and the larger material separately and only do about 2.5 gallons at a time in the bag. Oh my God. It changed everything. If you watch the video, you'll see it. And if you just think about it this way, if you take a bunch of big marbles and put them in a jar. And take a bunch of small marbles and put them in a jar. And then take a bunch of, like, let's say, 8-shot shotgun pellets and put it in a jar. None of them will actually fill all the space. If you then filled all 3 jars with water and then dump the water out into measuring cups, the most water will come out of the jar with the big marbles. The second amount will come out of the jar with the mid-sized marbles, the small marbles, and the least amount of water will come out of the one filled with what? Shotgun pellets, the least amount of space. When you create space in the aggregation and you drive a truck up, it crushes like fucking crazy. No dirt, no dust, no muck, no tar, no slop. I had several people say, I use a garbage disposal. You know what? If that makes you happy, you go ahead and keep doing that. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess is what it ends up looking like to me. And having run it through wood chippers, I know what that mess looks like. And I'm not about it. I might find a better way. I'm working on as many different methods as I can for the course that's coming soon. But simply screening it, which you're going to do anyway, eventually, first, and then maybe doing 2 passes. And then what I've decided is if I process the big stuff twice, I end up with out of a run about a third of a 5-gallon bucket of like pieces that are bigger than 1/2 inch. You know what that is? It's charcoal. You know, you can do a charcoal. You can cook with it. I've got a third bucket of charcoal that I can cook with, which will fit in my little baskets in my Weber kettle for cooking with my rotisserie better because they're smaller than the briquettes. So you get more volume. So I get some of the cleanest, best free charcoal for cooking and I still get my biochar. So I have a whole new playlist on that. You might want to check it out. It goes through how to use the kettle, how to some questions and follow up on it, and then how to do the crushing. And I'll keep adding to that playlist. Probably I'm going to do a burn today. But maybe build a burr grinder similar to coffee, but much larger, maybe. Or you could just, depends on how much you're making. I agree, if you are going to start like making it even small scale commercial, you need a better solution. And the best solution probably is, you just have to wait for the char to be fully dry before you do it, a steel leaf vacuum, gas powered, with the bag on the back that runs as a vacuum and not just a blower. That's because that's what Michael Whitman says, and he's probably right. But I've had good luck putting it through my wood chipper. It makes beautiful biochar in the end. You lose a lot. It spurts everywhere. It's just a mess. And you have to nail the moisture exactly right. So real quick before I go to the rest of the good shit, big crash coming to the auto industry. It's unavoidable. There's no way that this doesn't happen. I don't even know how it's gone this long. If you look at inventory and you go walk lots, there are cars out there that have price tags on them equal to what you would have bought a house for 20 years ago that have been on the lot for 400 plus days. So the inventory is insane what's sitting there. So now the production side, you keep adding more inventory, but you're not clearing the shelves. And no one has been willing to take the loss to clear out the inventory or to refine the production and lower the cost, and your government has made the cost where it is with all the regulations and bullshit. Why can't we have a good utilitarian work truck? Like, what were the Toyotas? I can't think what they're called now. Like, all the militias drive them and shit. We used to have them, right? They're all over the world. We can't have them, right? Decent work trucks with the drop-down sides and stuff like that, like, without them being fully loaded with 500 different safety apparatuses. They don't have to be built like Pintos that are going to blow up on you or anything. Plenty of people use these trucks every day all over the world. Nobody dies because they're using these trucks. So we have regulations that are preventing any cost cutting at all. A desire to destroy the auto industry, by the way. They don't want an auto industry. They want a transportation industry that they oversee. They want to control. A car will exist, but you won't own it. It'll be shared between multiple families and drive itself. That's their fucked up vision for the future, which isn't going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. That's why they want these, you know, 15-minute cities and shit like that and get rid of it. Yeah, Hilux. That's what it is. Hilux. The Toyota. Why can't we have the Hilux back? They're some of the best trucks ever built for the money. For the money. On top of it, interest rates are not coming down. Not enough to change the calculus on this. I have fucking excellent credit. I mean, like 800 plus, something like that, like crazy. My wife has excellent credit, and we have money. We couldn't afford to finance the purchase of a Toyota truck that we had the cash to buy, so we bought it with cash. I just look at this and go, what does a 25-year-old do? How do they even live? People are driving around. They're paying $700, $800 a month on what we would call a puddle jumper back in my day. It doesn't make any sense. This whole thing is about to collapse, and there is no reckoning from the dealerships or the manufacturers, Toyota, Dodge, Ford, Hyundai, all of them. They keep making more and more expensive cars. They have cars sitting on a lot they can't sell. I know. We'll make a more expensive one. We'll make a more luxurious one. And most of your customers are everyday people. They can't afford to buy what you already have. So you're going to make more expensive cars. We're going to make more electric cars. We're going to put more automation in them and price ourselves to death. So that's coming. Just so you know. And I don't think it makes it till the end of 25. I think it's somewhere this summer that we start hearing about bailouts for the big three automakers again and all this other shit. Because I see no way to unclog this, no way to unstop this. I don't care what you do. Like, Trump wants to bring down the cost of energy, because if you bring down the cost of energy, you bring down the cost of everything, but not the thing you already made. And I really don't know where the cars coming off the assembly lines right now are going. And I think what they're doing, from what I can see, is they're only making the most highly in-demand vehicles there are. And so those vehicles are moving, but all the inventory is sitting there. And there's some point where that has to break. So we'll go back to good stuff that's going on. Vavor. I should have a Vavor product for you tomorrow. It's a really cool table they sent me. I've been a little iffy on them because of some customer service issues and some other things. I have a new rep. She seems fantastic. And she gave me a commitment that if one of you guys buys something, you get jerked around by customer service, and I let her know, she will make sure it's escalated. That's all I've ever wanted, so I'm going to be bringing you more Vavor stuff. I've got some really cool shit coming. Badass deviled egg idea, and I'll combine that with the item of the day here. So I love deviled eggs. I really, and I always have, but I don't like making them. And I don't mind smashing up yolks and putting cool shit in it and stuffing it back in the egg. That's not the problem. I don't even mind putting it in a plastic bag and piping it like I'm making a cake. It doesn't bother me at all. It's peeling the fucking things. Well, I found this 3-in-1 electric egg cooker that's the item of the day today by Hamilton Beach. And the way I found it is I heard about making deviled eggs about 6 months ago, and instead of using mayonnaise to like make the yolk mixture, more fluid and more than just yolks, you use avocado. And so my niece and his wife, my niece-in-law, they make deviled eggs at almost every family gathering we have at their house. So I've kind of planted this idea in them, and they keep making these wonderful different deviled eggs, but they never will do it with avocado, even though they like the idea. So Nick, at Thanksgiving, because everybody came to my place for Thanksgiving, and they're not as green as you'd think, Bonnie. It's weird. I'll explain it in a minute, I guess. But they brought these really awesome, like, they called them jalapeno popper eggs, and they were like, they had pickled jalapenos in them. They had cheese in them, and they were really good, a little bacon on the top. And he said to me, he said, why don't you make them yourself? So I explained it. He told me about this thing by Hamilton Beach. He's like, it'll do 14 eggs at once. You stick them in there. When the bell goes off, you throw them in ice water, and they peel perfectly like a banana. So I finally, after I ate those, I'm like, I got to do this. I ordered one, and I got here. It got here Friday, and we made eggs with it Saturday. Holy crap. These things are amazing. What I came up with, and let me find a picture here. I thought I had a picture of this. There it is. All right. So I came up with these deviled eggs. It uses avocado mash and some fresh jalapenos, because pickled jalapenos to me don't have as much punch. And garlic and onion and some other things, and then bacon in chopped up, and then bacon on the top. My wife and I smashed the hell out of these. And if you look at them, the yolks aren't that green. They're greener than they look in the picture, but they're not super green like you think they would be. And I think that, because I've seen them with really green yolks, and I think what that is people making them with store-bought eggs. And the yolks are so washed out in color to begin with that the green completely takes over, where our yolks are like this deep golden, but there's more to it. The way this damn thing makes a boiled egg, that yolk is perfect. It's golden. There's no green or gray or discoloration, and it's weird. It works by using water and the amount of water. And what I mean by the amount of water is that when you make the eggs, it comes with a little measuring cup. And the measuring cup has hash marks on it. And you fill it up to whatever, like if you're going to do 7 eggs hard boiled, you fill it up to that line. 7 eggs soft boiled, you fill it up to a different line. And you put that water in the bottom of this little thing with a dome on it. And when the water's gone, your eggs are done. And it works perfectly. I don't understand exactly how the engineering went into that. And it's counterintuitive because the more eggs, the less water. And I'm like, what the hell is with that, right? And what it is, a moonshiner, once I got the explanation, I had to do some research to find it. When that steam is coming up and going out the little vent hole and you have a bunch of eggs in there, more of it condenses on the eggs and falls back down, and it takes longer to get the same amount of water out. And however Hamilton Beach engineers figured this out, I don't care. It's freaking absolutely fantastic. So definitely check this out. Again, it's an item of the day today. And what I'm going to do, since I realize I don't actually have a picture of the product itself in the review, I'll fix that later, but this is what it looks like. It's just a little dome, and the eggs sit in there. But it also makes poached eggs and omelets. And I haven't done the poached eggs yet, but I did an omelet this morning. It was freaking amazing. And the omelet cooks in this little cup. You know, one thing you have to be careful of is don't fill it too much because the eggs will expand because you're steaming the egg. And I did an omelet today with some leftover sausage that I chopped up, some bacon that I chopped up, and a couple cherry tomatoes and a jalapeno from a regular chili, like New Mexico chili from the garden that I went out and picked this morning. And it was absolutely fantastic. Check this thing out. And they're $20. So they do eggs 3 ways, fully automated. An egg you can peel like peeling a banana. Everything works just the way it's supposed to. $20. I think they'd make a great Christmas present as well today, too. I also have a show that will probably be coming next week now. I thought I was going to do it tomorrow, and I forgot it's first Tuesday. So tomorrow I'll be on the air with John Willis and Nicole Sauce. And we'll be talking about all kinds of shit, probably some of the stuff from today as well. It'll be interesting to get Nicole and John's perspective on some of this stuff. Probably a bunch of homesteading topics. Yeah, entrepreneur, all the stuff that we always talk about. But then so next week I'll probably do this show. It's going to be on plants that are not used anywhere near as much as they should, whether it be for food or fiber or medicine or anything. And like what got me on this, I saw this video about willow and how amazing willow is and how underutilized willow is and how much willow was used for agricultural purposes in the past. And since we have Nick Fergus on the council, I know you guys know, well, we can take willow and we can use it for fodder and we can feed rabbits and sheep and things with it. Yeah, and you know, for me, you can make really great artisan charcoal out of those nice, long, perfect whips out of willow. But you can make fences out of living fences from willow. Super easy to do. You cut it when a storm it, you stick it in the ground, you keep the ground wet, it roots, it starts growing, you weave it together. You can make baskets. Like there's like 100 different things you can do with willow. And this video, when they presented it, is I don't know why you would ever put in a metal fence. The day you put it in, it starts to degrade. You put in a willow fence, it lives, it gets bigger, it gets stronger over time. I'm like, yeah, I need to do this show. So like willow, azolla, a bunch of stuff. We'll be doing that show probably Monday or Tuesday next week. I also want to say like the biochar thing, I'm working on the course. It's going to be probably the best course I've ever done. Definitely check out my playlist. Start making it now. Don't wait for the course. Making it is actually the easy part. Understanding it, knowing how to use it, knowing what to do with it, and all the other things you can do with it. That's the magic. And I've been using it now for 2 years in my garden, And it's still not to the level amount, quantity, the ratio I want. That's really going to get up this year because now my compost is just loaded with it from last year. But it's kind of crazy. I have, again, now, I've had multiple frosts and I've had two full-on freezes. What did I just say I picked this morning? Peppers and tomatoes. Now, my tomato vines look bad, but they're not dead. So the you know, usually when you get a frost, like your tomatoes just go to shit. They're still all there hanging. Delicious. Actually, they taste better, having been kissed by the frost a little bit. But I would say 95% of my pepper plants have been through at least five frosts and two freezes and are still the fuck alive. No cover, no cloche, no protection, no super solar traps, because I actually have a lot of shade on my garden because our summers are so intense. The only real difference, because I've been using the bioactive compost for a long time, is the biochar. Don't ask me to explain exactly how that works. I'm working on it. Hopefully I'll get it into my class, but definitely check out the stuff I've been doing on biochar. Start doing it. And I want you to think about this for the course that's coming. Making charcoal is a survival skill. It's not just what it does for soil. What did I mention already? You make charcoal, you make fuel. Very clean, very hot burning fuel. So if you can make charcoal, you can improve your soil, but you can also make fuel. If you use it in your manure management, you keep down flies and problems. You put it in your feed, you improve feed efficiency by 15 to 20%. You use it for storing food and you increase the longevity of food. Oh, and here's a little thing, my prepper friends, have you ever thought of this? What are the three ingredients to make black powder? Do you know what they are? It's not some anarchist cookbook thing, the recipe's everywhere. What are they? Anybody here know? I'll go on and see if anybody knows the three ingredients for making black powder. I'll come back and tell you if you don't know. And two of them you can get at a garden center. Two. And one you can make for yourself. It's charcoal. See if you figure out what the other two are. And I'll come back and tell you in a second. And I will have new keto carnivore recipes coming. Playing with this egg machine really kind of got my jazz going on that. And some other things. I also invested in a rotisserie. That'll be coming as an item of the day too. The rotisserie will do two things. It's a rotisserie for cooking, and it will expand the production capacity of a Weber kettle grill to make biochar. So I got all that coming. And that's not phosphorus. Saltpeter, yeah, but that's not what you would buy at a garden center. Saltpeter, yeah, would basically provide the same thing. It's not cottonseed oil. It's potassium nitrate and sulfur. You put those three together, and you can make your own black powder. Isn't that cool? Right? How about this? You want to forge metal? You can't do it with wood. You need charcoal. It's medicine. Charcoal is medicine. It's good for cleaning. It's good for preserving things. Right? Do you know that? I don't know that you'll use this one, but just this is an interesting thing. When a king or a high royal died in battle outside of England, in the days before modern technology, and they wanted to bring the king's body back to England, they covered him in charcoal so that they could bring him home and lay him to rest in a proper royal burial. Like, you start digging into what we can do with charcoal. I have over 60 uses for it that are going into this course to give you an idea of where we're going with it. And again, if you want to support the show, the Hamilton Beach Egg Maker is the way to do that today with tspaz.com. But I'm sure a bunch of you are going to be doing Christmas shopping, Cyber Monday. Please go to tspaz.com before you buy anything online, whether it's Vivor or Amazon, doesn't matter. If you buy anything there, if you go there first and use my links, then you'll help us without costing you any more money. If you're buying from Vivor, there's a discount code there to get 5% off anything you buy. So check that out. Consider taking my courses. You can find that at Home Food Systems. And again, tomorrow I shall return. American Legend says, maybe concrete. And I'm not sure if he's talking about biochar. Yeah, it can be used in concrete. It can be used to block EMI. Very small amount of it in the plaster on your walls will block EMI so well that you'll probably have to put in a repeater that reaches outside so your cell phone will work in your fucking house. How cool is that? And, you know, we've got paramagnetic properties. We've got cation exchange. There's so much this stuff does. You can't tell I'm a little bit excited about it. I've let my obsession run, and that's the next one we're building. Anyway, guys, went long, 2 hours. I will catch you tomorrow with another one with John and Nicole at 9:30 tomorrow's live.
They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar Day.